my ruins, resurrected. God, this is the end.
You can't tell me you can make the dead in me come back to life.
Everything turns to ashes, but without the hope of revival.
Imagine living with faith in God. I can't.
Get back on my feet, I stumble and fall, but I am too weak to make it on my own.
So my only option is surrender.
I throw my hands in the air. I give up. I ruin everything I touch.
It's foolish to think that God can restore my life.
Wait. God can restore my life.
It's foolish to think that I'd ruin everything I touch.
I give up. I throw my hands in the air. Surrender is my only option.
I'm too weak to make it on my own, so I stumble and fall, but get back on my feet with faith in God.
I can't imagine living without the hope of revival.
Everything turns to ashes, but you can make the dead in me come back to life.
You can't tell me this is the end. God resurrected my ruins.
Good morning, church. For those of you visiting, you're going to hate me, but I'm going to ask you to stand one more time. Come on, stand up. If you're here regularly, you know it aggravates me when we can cheer for Georgia. God help you who cheer for Alabama. And we're not even talking about those of you who cheer for Florida. But if ever there's a day to cheer, today's the cheer. Today is the day that grace and mercy overcame condemnation. Anybody thankful for that? Today is the day that eternity with God overcame eternal separation from Him. So I'm going to count to three, and on three, I want you to cheer like we just scored. Even better for the Georgia fans, we just beat Alabama. Hey, we got to cheer for something. So on the count of three, we're going to cheer for God. We're going to join our community. We're going to join people and Christians all around the world that today are celebrating that God was dead, but He is no longer dead. Amen? Amen. All right, here we go. On three. One, two, three. Praise you, God. Thank you. Come on, give Him. He deserves more than that. We worship you, God. We thank you for dying for us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said?
Amen.
All right, you can sit down. No, I'm just kidding. Stand back up. No, I'm just kidding. Sit down. Oh, if you're visiting with us this morning, welcome. It's an honor to have you here with us. It's an honor for us just to celebrate the risen Savior today together. I know sometimes we all have to go with families and we're moving around on Easter Sunday, but it's just exciting to celebrate God today, to celebrate what He's doing. For just a second, I want to ask you again, I'm going to remind you of what Lauren said. Take that survey that you have, and if we need more, those guys can make some more if you didn't get one. But I want to ask everybody in the room to just trust me today. You're going to hear it again, but I need you to participate. I'm that guy. I don't like filling out stuff because I don't want junk mail. I don't like people calling me. It's hard enough now to get Mary from Credit Financial Services to quit calling my phone. I get that. But I'm going to ask you today to just participate with me. We do this once a year, and the reason we do it once a year on Easter is because, well, I mean, look around. It's the day we get the best sample. And that's okay. But it really does help us to do what I consider you need, to consider what you need, and to do it to the best of our abilities, to pastor you, to shepherd and take care of you and in the best way that we possibly can. Even if this is not your home, this is not a gimmick, I'm not trying to weasel your information out of you, just participate with us, and it will allow us to do the best we can to take care of you. You know, leading up to Easter, we were in a series called How to Live Through a Bad Day. Based on the seven statements that Jesus made, if you didn't know this, as Jesus was put on the cross, before He died, He actually made seven statements. And so here is Jesus in what is arguably His worst day, still teaching us, still talking to us, still giving us, I think, instruction on how we get through our bad day. That was on Friday. And on that Friday, we celebrate what was Jesus' worst day, but His sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice for us, on Him going to the cross. So there's the Friday part of Easter. Then there's Sunday. Sunday is the day we celebrate His resurrection. The day that power of God brought Jesus out of hell, raising Him back to life and giving Him victory over death, like we were singing about a minute ago. But see, you don't have to necessarily fully understand this, but you need to know this. That on Friday, there was this transaction that paid for a debt that we couldn't pay. We couldn't make it right with God. And you need to know this. Sin has a price tag. And the price tag, it ultimately is death. And Jesus said that he was paying that price for us and did pay that price for us. So Jesus actually literally stepped into the courtroom of our lives and said, I know this person deserves death. I know this person deserves separation from me, but I'm going to step in and take the judgment that God's already put on their lives. I'm going to take that. So Jesus stepped into the courtroom, and it's not hard to understand for us that he paid the debt. The sacrifice he made gives us eternity with God instead of eternity separated from him. Now, don't get mixed up. This is not a church issue. You don't have to join Believer's Church to receive and be a part of this transaction, to have your debt paid, to have eternal life with Christ. It's not about joining a church. It's not about being religious. Jesus was really looking for something simple. He fully gave his life to you. He's just asking that you do the same for him, to fully give your life to him. Because you need to know this, the truth about hell. It was actually in the news this week. There was some scuttle going around about some pastors preaching that hell's not a real place. Well, I'm sorry to tell you that it is a real place. It's not just a figment of somebody's imagination. But hell is also not a place that God sends people. Hell is a place for people that try to pay their own debt. It's a choice. God doesn't send people to hell. People choose to not receive his grace and to then take that as their eternal destiny. In a few minutes, we'll have that opportunity for you to understand that your mortgage has been paid. Now, how many of you on Monday, tomorrow morning, you get a letter in the mail that you have a mortgage on your house and you get a letter saying paid in full? Think somebody would celebrate tomorrow morning? Amen. You'll hear me from Sylvan Heights screaming and dancing. Well, then why would on Tuesday, when my bill was normally due, why would I make that payment? Yet we Christians do it all the time. We're still trying to pay that debt, to pay a debt that's already been paid. So I hope you know the reality of what Jesus did on Friday, of Easter weekend, that part one of the Easter weekend, that you're part of this transaction, that Jesus has paid your debt if you've asked him to be Lord of your life. It's not a complicated thing. So then this question, so why? Why did Jesus have to rise from the dead? If it was just to pay for our sins and God was already willing to sacrifice his son, why not just sacrifice his son, pay for our sins, and then that's it? Why bring him back? Well, I think one, and there's probably a lot of reasons, one of them is to prove who he really was. You know, the theological historians have found documents outside of the Bible. They call them extra-biblical documents. That document that 400 or 500 people saw Jesus after his crucifixion. They physically saw him in person. So I think there was part of it, him proving who he was. If Jesus was just a figment of our imagination, then people wouldn't have seen him. This is not even including what the Bible says. So why the resurrection on Sunday? Well, I think there's a lot of answers. First, it proves again who he was. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, it says, this is talking about people seeing it, it says, during the 40 days after the crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time and proved to them in many ways that he was what? He was alive. So Jesus was coming back to prove really who he was. And I think secondly and most importantly, I think for those of us who hopefully have experienced the Friday of Easter, the salvation, you know Jesus is your Savior, you understand the cross, but you need to know this, there's another reality. That Jesus had to rise to conquer death. For him and for us. Jesus had to rise, and the Bible says he was raised by the power of God. He had to rise to conquer death for God and for us. You need to know this, that Easter exists to provide us a power. And the Bible says that for it's to us to come alive, power so you can conquer death. Jesus, after the cross, talking to John in the book of Revelations, who wrote Revelations, he says this in Revelations 1:8. He says, I am he who lives and what? Let's say that together. Was, one more time, was. You know, we serve the only God that said, I was dead, but I'm not. I'm here right now. Every other religion in the world, the God, they celebrate the death of the God. They celebrate the extinction of the God. They celebrate that they've never seen the God. But here's Jesus telling John, I was dead, and behold, guess what? I'm going to live forever. And I have, here's the keys. I have the keys of hell or Hades and what? And death. So the Bible says that Jesus went to hell and literally came back up holding the keys and holding the victory over hell. Therefore, only the people, therefore people going there are choosing to go there because Jesus has the keys. You don't have to go there. And choosing, it's bringing back the victory over death. You see, key's purpose is to unlock things. And I think what Jesus was saying and the reason he had to be resurrected was because he took the keys to defeat death and unlock all of us from it. You see, there are a lot of Christians who experience the Friday of Easter, but I believe probably in this room there are a lot of us who are saved that we've never really experienced the Sunday of Easter. We've never really experienced what the Bible says that is power. It's power that same that raised Christ from the dead is available to us. You've met Jesus, you're going to heaven, but you're still walking around locked up, miserable, your life in ruins. Your life, this is all it'll ever be. I know Jesus, I'm going to heaven, but this is the best I can do. This is the best my life will ever be, and I'm okay, I'll just live with that. You see, you've celebrated the historical Easter, but I think we can do so much more to experience Easter and the power of what God did in it. See, God in the Bible doesn't want you just to get saved. There's such this misnomer that when we celebrate salvation and we cheer and it's an eternal thing, but the bottom line is that's just the starting point. Amen. Salvation is just the starting point. It's just like getting on the team. Yet a lot of us, we you crave to play on a football team or baseball team or a softball team. You get a jersey and then you just don't want to play. No, I'm not going to play. I got my jersey. Well, what's the point? Well, there is the eternal salvation, and I'm not belittling that, but God, that's just the starting point. God wants so much more of us. Look what Paul says in Philippians 3. He says, I want to know Christ and do what? Experience the power. Not just know about it. I don't know if you've ever been to a college or even a professional football game or baseball game, but you see the guys on TV, especially some of the baseball players and the big football players. You see them on TV, you know they're big. You know they're strong. But if you've ever been in a stadium or stood next to one, you're experiencing power. You're here with it. A lot of us know of God's power. We've had the Friday experience. We know that the power is available to us, but we just kind of watch it on TV. We don't have the experience. Well, Paul is putting out here two really simple questions. The first one is, do you know Christ? You can't experience the power of God until you know Christ. It's a very simple moment. Again, it's not joining a church, but it's just reversing the moment, just like you saw in the video. Did you notice that they read it forward, and then at some point in time, it changed, and it began to go backwards? And they begin the very confession that they were making negative about their life, God flipped the script, and they began to quote it, and it was bringing life, and they were experiencing the power of God in their lives. You can take it from this sliding from life to death to begin to reverse the script of your life and begin going from that death position that we take, the life in ruins, to see it moving toward life and experience the Friday of Easter, and you can do that today. Then there's a second question. Paul says, do you know the power of his resurrection? Have you allowed the power of God just to show up in your life? And for those of you who may be new to church and new to this, it's not a big scary thing. That's just simply letting God in your life. Not only from the salvation point of view, but letting him lead you, letting him speak to you. The Bible says that there's, I believe, tangible power that's available to us. Just like in the words of the song we sang just a minute ago, or when we opened the service, we were singing that song and it says, by your spirit I will rise from the what? From the ashes of defeat. Now I'm going to ask everybody in the room to participate, and I want you to be honest. Because let's just be real. I tell our people, if you're here visiting every Sunday, I do my best to be as transparent as possible. If I have mess, I talk about my mess. And if I have a good day, I talk about my good day. But I want to ask you, and I want you to raise your hand and tell me, have you ever lived in defeat? Is any part of your life is ashes of defeat? See, that some of you aren't thinking hard enough. Because all of us have had those moments where we look at a portion of our life and go, God, I just destroyed that. I burned that thing to the ground. There's nothing left of it. And here the song we were singing is that by your spirit I'll rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected king, notice that's past. The resurrected ED, and I'm terrible in grammar, so look, y'all help me out, right? Past ED is resurrecting me. It's what? Present. See, the Bible says that I have been resurrected. Jesus was resurrected, and that king is now resurrecting me. And it's by that name that the things that were dead have come to life. Declare your victory. Again, the resurrected king is resurrecting me. The thing I want to make clear to us today and to you today is that, yes, you can be forgiven. Yes, on the cross on Friday, you can be forgiven. But the thing we need to understand is that a lot of people stop right there, and they really never go past that salvation. I heard people have told me this before, maybe in conversation with some of you guys. And they'll say, Clint, listen, I know Jesus, I've accepted Jesus, I'm going to heaven, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know my past. You don't know my record. You don't know what the government thinks about me, what the government says. You don't know the decisions I've made. You don't know the things I've messed up, but I'm okay with that. God saved me, and I'm okay. I'm just going to have to live my life the way it is because I'm just, you know, we say I'm going to reap the harvest of the seeds I've sown. And there is truth to seed and harvest and, you know, what comes around goes around. There is some truth to that. But the real truth is your life doesn't have to stay ruined. For you to say, I am ruined, your life does not have to stay that way. Your life, your marriage, your kids, your finances, life in pieces. Anybody ever said this? Well, I've tried to fix it. I've tried to stop doing this, or I've tried to start doing this to fix my life, and guess what? I failed, and my life's still in ruins. Well, something in ruins, a life in ruins, is a fact. Several years ago, I was out. I got a call. There was a bad wreck on the bypass here somewhere, and got there, and there was a lady who'd gotten out of the car, and she kept saying, and I recognized her to somebody I knew to be a Christian, and she kept saying, my car's not wrecked. My car's not wrecked. My car, I'm like, ma'am, your car is about, you know, 3 feet shorter than it was a minute ago. Your car is wrecked. And what she was proclaiming things in faith. And I was telling her, okay, I understand what you're saying, but you can't deny the fact your car is wrecked. See, I'm not asking you today to deny the ruins of your life. What I'm asking you to do today is to accept the fact that there is somebody who can fix the car. That you can accept the fact that as bad as it is, that your life can be put back together. That the things that are ruined can come back. You see, only through Jesus can the ruins of our life be brought back to life. Otherwise, you're going to keep trying and you're going to fail. You're going to keep trying and you're going to fail. I've told people this before. Go ahead, try. You'll come back. Go try it and come back. Because it's just not going to work. Jesus would not have come if it would have worked. You can see things go from death to life. I want to give you this prayer today. This is actually something Paul prayed as he wrote to the church at Ephesus in the book of Ephesians. Look what this says in Ephesians 1:19. He says, His incomparably great power to us who believe. That power is the what? Same as the mighty strength in verse 20. As the one that God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. He's saying, I pray that you understand this incomparable power. In other words, don't stop at the Friday experience, all those areas we think are in ruins. I've watched them experience this power. And I want to offer us a chance today to walk through that. Whether this is first time ever you've ever been in a church, or you've been in a church all your life, I still believe in all of us. You'll see it on the sign out front when you leave, and you'll see it on all of our stuff that we put out. We talk about having one step, that all of us have one step to take, and that simply means that whatever your step is, just do it. Let God help you do it. for some of you, and you can't know how much this means to me as a man standing in front of you today. It's hard to even put in words. But the fact that if you just got up this morning and came and you don't know God, and this is all new to you, this means more to me than you can ever imagine, that you would honor me just by coming today. And I believe that was your one step. God just had to help you, give you the courage to take one step. That person who invited you, you don't realize this, but God used them to affect your life today. You showed up. That we all have one step to take. So let's not stop at the Friday experience. I want to offer us a chance to go. The Bible says that one day Jesus actually walked into the synagogue. And he walked into the synagogue, is the old Jewish term for their church. And he walked in. And if you can imagine somebody who's really never, you know, who's not well respected, they knew who he was. He walks in, picks up the old scrolls, and begins to read. He reads it, then he puts it down, and he points at it and says, "This has now been fulfilled." It was the biblical equivalent of a mic drop. He walked in, made a statement, "Hey, I've fulfilled this." All the people in the room went nuts because Jesus is saying, "I'm fulfilling the scripture." He dropped the mic and walked out. I don't want to show you what he said. For you to take this same journey in our lives, and I'm asking you this morning to consider the steps and the spiritual walk that Jesus is about to talk about. It's actually Isaiah talking many, many thousand years before Jesus ever showed up. But look what it says. I'm going to read it off here. It says in Isaiah 61, verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me." Here's Isaiah talking now, to proclaim the good news. He's talking about Friday, to proclaim the good news. I had the honor this week of speaking on Friday at the Good Friday service that the Methodist Church hosts. This is what I was talking about, that the good news. This is what the Bible charges us with, to go to people and help them understand and learn about the good news. And then God says, "I'll take it from there." So the Friday, proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up, to think about the world now. And maybe this fits to you today. Maybe this is part of your life today. To bind up, and that means just to heal up, to bandage, to take care of the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness the prisoners. In other words, to help you in the place in your hearts that you need help. Because I'm going to tell you, we all have it. I do. There's places that I get up in the morning like, "God, I need your help." I told you guys last week, you know, I've just about lost my religion and my salvation, if it's possible. I don't think it is, but last week or so, over a pressure washer. Yeah, me trying to start a pressure washer in my backyard, and, you know, I didn't say them, but in my mind, I was making up some new four-letter words. My kids were right on the other side of the wall, and I knew they could hear me, but me and that pressure washer were having a bad day. And I realized, God, there's some places in my heart that I need fixed. And I'm the pastor. Heck, it's not good. I got to preach on Sunday at Easter. You got to help me, God. And then in verse 2, it says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. In other words, God's going to handle business. And to comfort those who mourn and provide those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them, and this is what I love, a crown of beauty instead of what? Instead of ashes. Most of you probably know Emma. If you don't, hang around 5 minutes, you'll find Emma. She'll find you. She does the winter pageant for the special ed kids. And there is just something in her eyes that when you take that little plastic, probably $2 tiara, and put it on her head, she just stands taller and her eyes light up. And she just kind of glows. Now, I want you to imagine God with you today. You know, for you guys, we can think of a baseball hat. You don't have to wear a tiara. The God coming to you and putting something on you that just makes you stand up straight. That you knowing you don't deserve it, you really didn't do anything to earn it, but God says, I'm gonna give this to you. That he gives beauty instead of the ashes. And then it says the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of spirit or just fear. He's not here just to save you and just to heal you. God actually says, here through Isaiah, I'm here to fix the broken stuff. Easter is about fixing through the power of God the broken stuff. God fixed Jesus and brought him back by his power. Then it goes on to say they will be called oaks of righteousness. This is the results of what was broken. The Bible says now are whole and complete. For you to be righteous, you're made right. So things have to, now the Bible is saying these people will be called oaks of righteousness. Then it says in 61 verse 4, now here's where the church comes together. This is us, those of us in the room today. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, restore the places long devastated, and they will renew what? Let's make sure it's back here because y'all aren't reading it. They will renew the ruined cities. Now here's God's power through you going to help somebody else. I'm telling, if you saw me walking yesterday in the livestock parade, yes, I was probably breathing hard because it's a long way from one end of that place to the other. And, you know, their eggs are flying and kids are pelting people with eggs. And but there was a moment, you ever had those moments in life where it's almost like it does on TV where it just kind of slows down? And I'm telling you, I got emotional. I'm walking down, and we top the hill, and we're looking down from the top of the hill on South Main down toward the tent and First Baptist in that direction, and I got emotional. I was like, God, all these people. If Friday's the experience and they hadn't had Friday and they're never going to have Sunday, God, what are we doing? I was talking with the pastor at First Methodist and Pastor Ricky and Pastor Charlie at First Baptist, and I said, guys, y'all seeing this? We got to get busy. And they nodded their heads, and we kind of talked for a minute, but as I was walking down the street, I got emotional thinking, I know people say Sylvania's a little town, but if we looked and suddenly South Main just got evaporated, something fell out of the sky and took out all of us on, there's thousands of souls, thousands of people. And then it kind of brought me back when I began to think, but now what if all these people began to do something for God? Began to do just this, that all of us whose lives were all screwed up, that God's fixed, and now you and I begin to go to that person beside us, that person at our desk, that person at your office, that person beside you, you know, or at Bilo that won't get out of your way. That person that said, hey, I understand, I've been there. Let me help you. Let me show you the power of God. Let me show you what's, people that were broken are now helping those around them to experience the same resurrection. See, Easter again is not an event. Easter is, we need to change our mindset because the role of the world has got us off. Easter is an invitation to a process where God wants to rebuild and resurrect the ruins of your life. It's a process. On Friday, he secures your eternity. He saves you. And then on Sunday, he says, okay, now here's the same power that brought me out of the grave. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to let you use it to fix the things of your life. Let me give you the power that you need. I'm going to give you four simple things today. And then we're going to get out of here and probably go eat too much and take a good nap today. A lot more of y'all would have said amen to that. And this just sounds simple. The first one is, stop dying. Let me try this side. Stop dying. Amen. It gets to that aggravating point. You can reverse the direction today. Easter is God through Jesus reversing the course from death to life. I'm guilty as anybody else of saying this. Anybody ever said, man, that's killing me. Man, I'm dying in here. Had somebody last week talking about how cold it was. It's cold because it's hot up here. And they said, I was cold. I was dying in there. And my thought was, well, if that all it takes to kill you, you're in bad shape. But we say things like that all the time. Stop dying. The Bible says that today, through Jesus, you can reverse the script. You can, just like you saw in the video, it reverses, and all the things that were killing you, the Bible says, is now bringing you life. Stop dying. In John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus himself says that I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will do what? Will live, even though they have what? Died. You can live. Don't believe what they're telling you, that what's dead is dead. Because they haven't met me. They haven't met Jesus. And he says, listen, what was dead is now going to be alive. And whoever lives believing in me will what? They're never going to die. See, we worry so much about death. The Bible says, listen, just, I've handled it. You don't have to worry about dying. You don't have to worry about this event, because the Bible says when you do as Christians, all we do is relocate. Paul even struggled with this idea. Do I die or do I just stay here and preach Jesus? So stop dying. It's not about joining a church. Again, it's not about even getting religious. And this may blow some of you away. And if you're new to this whole church thing, God doesn't really even want you to change anything. There's this idea that somehow you come and you come into Believer's Church, and at the end of the service, we typically, you know, if you need to meet Jesus, raise your hand, I'll pray with you, and we raise your hand, and then suddenly we have this overwhelming feeling, like, I got to be perfect now. Well, let me just take you, put you at ease, so when we get to the end of the service in a minute, you can be at ease. God's not asking you to change anything. The Bible says that you receive Jesus freely, and said, then he'll begin to work on you. He'll begin to help you through the process of the power, bringing things back to life. But then it says this. It says, whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Then it asks this simple question. Do you believe this? Do you? Jesus said, hey, do you believe what I'm telling you? It's not about joining a church. It's about letting him resurrect the ruins of our lives, the ruins that need help, and you can do that today. The second thing is, start rebuilding. Stop dying. Start rebuilding. Just get in the process. I tell people this, if you're a member here, a regular here, you've heard me say this before. If you'll just jump in the process and do it for a year, 1 year. It won't take that long, but do it for 1 year. Get on, go through the growth track. We have a three-part thing. It's three quick things. We get you, tell you about the church. You join the church. We tell you the basics, just what you need to make sure we're all in the same book. Then in step three, we help you find a place to plug in. Did you get in a grow group? And then show up on Sundays. And then the last thing we say, just get on a dream team. Serve. Go serve. Throw eggs at people as we ride down Main Street. Y'all laugh, but I consider that serving. We had people from all over the community taking part, serving in ways. We had all the popcorn. Somebody blessed us. Instead of us having to make it this year, somebody blessed us with all of it. They gave away 200 and something boxes of popcorn for free. That's serving people. But get on the process. Those grow group, the dream teams, and you'll see the ruins come to life. Let me tell you this. You do it for a year. Again, it won't take that long, but if you do it for a year and your life is not better and God's resurrecting your life, the ruins of your life, and it's not happening, a year from now, you and I both will go find another church. I'm serious. We'll shut this down, pack it up, and go find something else. Because if we're going through the process that God has for us and we're asking him to rebuild in our lives and nothing's happening, we're wasting our time. If we're doing the process that we start rebuilding. Because you need to understand this. God's grace will meet you where you are, but it's never going to leave you where it found you. You'll need to internalize that. God's grace is not asking you to change position at all. He'll meet you right where you are. But you need to also know he's not going to leave you there. That grace helps you move forward. It's the very thing we celebrate today, the resurrection, that Jesus is no longer in the grave. Grace and the power of God met Jesus in the grave and didn't leave him there. It brought him out and brought him forward. That was a great place to say amen. So stop dying, start rebuilding. And number three, stop doubting. You have to believe that you have a story of resurrected ruins. You have to believe that. You have to believe this, that God sees greatness in me that I can't see in myself. This is not being cocky. This is not being prideful. Because I will be the first to tell you, there's parts of my life that are just a mess. And I have a group of guys and group of accountability people that I'm like, I need some help. I even told one of them today, I had to go take a few minutes this morning and just pray through, because I was jacked up for Easter. I was up, had my coffee. I was here at 5 o'clock this morning, raring to go. I was like, where are you people? Come on, it's 5 o'clock on Easter Sunday. Where is everybody? Most of y'all are like in bed wondering what day it is. I was up raring to go. And people weren't as raring to go as and on on my track. So I just had to go to the side of the mountain and take a deep breath and just, and really, but God, I hope you see. I believe you see that I'm not doing this, but I believe you see in me greater things than I can see in myself. That you have the ability to do things you've not even yet imagined. Some of you, the very basic thing, if you can't even imagine your life without whatever. I had a friend who, early on in life, I guess she was in high school. She served God. She loved God. She had about a two-week time where she had a fight with a friend to get back. Anyway, things went south. One night, who was other, or just, I mean, she was as straight as an arrow. One night, went out, had too much to drink, got convinced to drink, got pregnant, and didn't tell anybody for a long time that she had gone and had an abortion. And from that moment on, doubt destroyed her. Because she said, in my mind, God, you can't see anything good in me. If I did that, how many of you have said that? God, I did that. You can't see good in me. I blaspheme you, God. Anybody ever been angry at God? Anybody ever had one of those come to Jesus moments with Jesus? Like, I'm not getting this, God. I was. The day after I found out the doctor called us about Emma and her diagnosis, I'm going to tell you, this brother was PO'd. I was like, God, I've given my life to serve you, and this is what I get? God, you must not see anything good in me. But I had to go back to God and no, God, I know you see greatness in me that I can't see in myself. And the things that have happened to me, the things I've done and said, aren't defining me because I'm not defined by my past. I'm defined by what your son did on Friday. And on Friday is now Sunday, and you brought him back, and that same power that brings him back is now alive in me. Now the fourth one. Start living. Start, just like Jesus said when he read in Isaiah 61. For those of you who have had something restored in your life, get busy about doing something for somebody else. I said this last week in our last part of the How to Make It Through a Bad Day series. You want to see things change in your life? Take the problem you have. Pick out your biggest issue. Find somebody that has that issue and go help them. Because I promise you when you do, the answers for your life will begin to come up because you're not focused on your life. You're focused on serving somebody else. Helping them. Putting them first. Start using the restored lives. Our lives that are in ruin that have now God has brought back to give people hope whose lives are now in ruins. You know, religious people, and even sadly some pastors that I know, religious church people are trying to tell us and sell this idea that Easter is about this. Easter is not about God making bad people good. I know it may surprise you, but hear me out here. Easter is not about God coming in and going, okay, all you bad people are now good. If it were about that, God could go over to the jail and prison and go, okay, all you people have been bad, you're now good. And then we could just do away with jails. That's not what Easter is about. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. He came to make people who have messed up, who have their lives have they made one decision that changed the course of their lives, that they've done something that they're ashamed of. He said, I'm come to make the dead people alive. Instead of it going from life to death and we're all just getting old and dying, the Bible says that Jesus sees us as I'm now resurrecting you. And the thing that was dead is now what? Alive, that your life can actually be alive today. You can see that in your life today. Now, if you will, I want to ask you just to be still for a moment. Don't put your stuff up yet. I know some of us can already smell the ham and the turkey and whatever else, God help us, is cooking out there today. So just kind of shut that off for a minute and pull out that survey sheet that Lauren got. or that Lauren talked about, I'm sorry. If you don't have one, shoot your hand in the air and one of the ushers will bring you one. But again, I'm going to ask everybody to participate. If you haven't filled it out, and before you leave today, fill it out. We're going to take it up in the offering in a minute. But I want you to trust me. And all of us do this today. Hey, listen, real quick, look at me. I want to tell you something. I'm not trying to build a big church. Believe it or not, that's not my job. My job is to help people, lives that are in ruins, come back to life. And when that happens, the church naturally grows because people want to be a part of it. I'm not trying to build a big church. I just want to rebuild lives. I'd like to see nothing better than the ruins in your life rebuilding. If you take the sheet and turn on one side, you'll see on the bottom of it four boxes with the letters A, B, C. What this is really just a spiritual survey that we just kind of every year take account for where I am in my life. There's a slide that'll come up on the screen behind me, but you have box A. And box A says, I'm already in a real relationship with Jesus. That's great. Check that box. But you need to know this. When you walk out of the church today and you look out toward our sign, you'll see the big orange one step. You've still got one step to take. No matter how long you've known God, you still have a step to take, a step closer to Him, a step to follow Him, a step to trust Him, a step of faith. If that's you, that's wonderful. Check box A. Box B says, I'm beginning a relationship with Jesus. That today, this is your chance that we talked about earlier. This is the Friday experience of Easter. That you today can check that box. I'm going to pray in a minute. The Bible says you just receive Jesus. God, I just receive what you've done for me. Even if you don't understand it. God, I don't really get all this, but I know Jesus loved me. He died for me. You brought him back to life. And God, I receive you. I give him my life. That's box B. Then honestly, there's box C. And box C is my favorite. Because I would love to have a church full of people who aren't church people. If you need to consider it, come back as long as you want. Kick the tires as long as you want. Come, participate, come, hang out. And sooner or later, God works in you and you become from a C to a B. I love that. It's probably my favorite one. Then there's box D. It says, I don't ever intend on making that decision. I'm just going to ask that you be man or woman enough to go, nope, that's me. Not going to do it. But I'm going to tell you something. We're still going to pray for you. I did last year. Last year, we had five or six people mark D. And my prayer is that this year, they're going to mark B. It's okay. Mark D. If that's just be honest with yourself and honest with God. God, I'm not there yet. I don't ever plan on making this decision. And we have had many over the years people who have checked D, and then a year or so later, they're telling me, "Hi, Clint, I was a D. That's me. This year I checked B." So don't be afraid. If you need to check D, check it. What I'm going to ask you to do is right now, everybody take your form. If you need a pen, there should be ones on the seats in front of you. If you need to share one, I'm going to ask you to check a box. And when you're done checking the box, just bow your head, and that just will let me know that you're done. Just take a few seconds now and do it. Just when you're done, just begin to bow your head. If you need pens, y'all get pens. Make sure everybody has pens. We're not in a hurry. As you've made that decision, just bow your head. It just says to me, hey, I'm done. Let's pray. God, there's people now making eternal decisions. I thank you that through your Holy Spirit, by the power that raised Jesus from the dead, Father, you're knocking on hearts, you're tugging on hearts. God, help them respond to that knocking. God, may they know you as a father and how bad you desperately just want a relationship, to start a relationship with them. For those considering this new relationship, God, show them your love and your, just be real to them, God. Meet them right where they are. That exactly what we said earlier, your grace will meet them right where they are, and you won't leave them there. You'll move them forward toward life. God, we thank you for it now. God, I thank you for all those who checked A. They've been here, they know you, and they're serving you, and they have one step to take. And God, we celebrate now all those in the room who have checked B. And for those who checked C and D, Father, we pray over them that they will be pursued by you like never before, knocking on the door of their life every morning that they get up. And God, we thank you for it now. God, I thank you again that we can experience the Friday of Easter and salvation. But today, Father God, when we leave, God, we're not trying to sound spiritual, trying to sound smart, trying to sound religious. But today, God, we leave here better than we were, because we leave here with your power, your strength, that our lives are fully yours. And God, we celebrate that resurrected King that, Lord, you said is now resurrecting Clint. That's now resurrecting Brian. That's now resurrecting Melanie. No matter what we've done or where we've said, the ruins of our life are now being resurrected by your power. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, everybody look at me real quick. If you didn't check a box, check a box. I want all the other information, but those four boxes, I'm telling you, just do it for me. If you don't know me, hi, my name's Clint. I need you to do it for me. Because it's such a big deal, I think, in the kingdom of God for us to not only encourage each other, but to say to people, look, today, so many people check box B. Celebrate that.